Hey guys, it's Tracy with the hashtag Fish Life podcast. It's been a while and I'd like to apologize for the way that my voice sounds today, but thanks for hanging in there and thank you to those that listened to the October podcast. I appreciate that. The whole plan was to do every Wednesday, and let's just say that life gets in the way, so sometimes that doesn't always happen. November is National Adoption Awareness Month. You may notice that your favorite restaurants, including Wendy's, you might notice some other places kind of talk about adoption a little bit more during the month of November, and that's the reason why I bring up Wendy's, because Dave Thomas, the founder, was also adopted, and so it was very near and dear to his heart. And he, in turn, created the Dave Thomas National Adoption Foundation, or the Dave Thomas Adoption Foundation, I believe. So when you go to Wendy's in November, please make sure that you take advantage of the donation process that they have there, because it's fantastic. His program is amazing, and it's near and dear because it is part of the Ohio culture here, and we're based out of Cincinnati, Ohio here. Today is going to be talking about adoption. For those of you that don't know, I am personally adopted. I turned 40 this weekend, and the last few years has been a really big step up in my search game. A few years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer, and I decided that now was the time to get the ball just pushing it down the hill. So because of sites like Ancestry.com and 23andMe and all the other genetic testing sites that are out there, FamilyTree DNA, some of the other great ones that are there that are just slipping my mind right now, you have the opportunity to put your DNA out there, and anybody that matches you that's also decided to take the leap can communicate with you, and they can reach back out to you and say, hey, looks like we're cousins, or hey, it looks like we're aunt and niece, or hey, it looks like, it looks like we have some sort of familial bond or familial connection. What is it? And when you're an adoptee, you really do that kind of all your life for the most part. My younger brother is also adopted, and he actually has no interest in finding his birth parents, which I just find completely absurd. I don't understand that, because to me, a big part of who I am is finding who I am. So a few years ago, I got the ancestry test through my friend Amanda. She gave it to me right after diagnosis, mainly to see if I had the BRCA gene, which I do not, which is great. But she also wanted to make sure that I had some sort of connection to my lineage. So let's fast forward a few years to 2018, actually just about a year and a half. I went in and got my birth certificate, got the name of my mother, and then reached out to her around Christmas time last year. At the beginning of this year, in 2019, I had some major foot surgeries, and while I was waiting for one of my surgeries, I got an email through Ancestry from a woman named Michelle, and she's actually here today.
Hello.
Michelle and I started our relationship through Ancestry because Michelle thought that I was her niece. That's what it said. Right. We had this really long talk. Mind you, I was going in and out of consciousness with high doses of medication. But we had this really long talk the night before one of my surgeries, and it was very fluid. It was very long. It was so like 2 hours.
It felt immediately that the niece connection was not accurate.
Right,
like,
right.
We felt immediately that the bond was stronger.
There was something
somehow.
Different. Yeah.
Yeah, there was something different.
Yeah, it wasn't the connection that you would have with an aunt.
But the age difference
would
Tracy
lead to.
Tracy is 14 years younger than me,
right.
So we felt like that might still be true.
Right, and at the very least, there was that connection. We were just still going through it.
We were like two peas in a pod.
Right,
the very
immediately.
Beginning.
Yeah. And she does not live in Ohio, so it was a long...
I live in Nebraska.
Okay, I didn't know if you wanted to say that. it was a long-distance discussion and relationship, and she checked up on me after I had my surgery, and she said, hey, one of my sisters, or my sister has done... 23andMe, and I decided I would do Ancestry on my side, and she said, my husband and I, Lenny, we would like to gift you a 23andMe kit if that's okay. And I said, no, that's fine. And she said, oh, is this your address? And she already had it, because she had sent me a card a few weeks before that, but she already had it. And guys, I had it on my front porch the next night at 8 o'clock. I don't know if you Amazon primed it or what you did.
I Amazoned it, and they literally delivered it almost the same day. It was like ridiculous.
Yeah, it was It was.
Oh, that's big city living. Right. We live on a farm, so.
So you don't get it that fast.
We don't.
We have a hub in our city, though. We have a couple hubs, so we get that.
We have hubcaps.
Yeah. When I was a teenager, I didn't, because I would always drive them off. But so I got this the DNA kit from 23andMe, and I literally got it that night. I made sure I followed the rules, like I stopped eating so that I could take this kit, because at this point you've got these leads and you need to know the connection. And I took the kit, and because it was like March, it's their downtime. Even though everybody gets all their kits at Christmas, mm-hmm. and all that, this was their downtime. So we got results in like 10 days.
It was like maybe eight, super fast.
Yeah. And the first thing that popped up was, okay, because like it's like when you order a pizza and you track the process. Just to show you how tech I am, like when we order pizza, I'll be like, cool, leave that screen up because it'll tell me when it's coming. But the when you turn in a kit to 23andMe, it does the same thing. It'll say, okay, great, we've received your kit, or we know that you've signed up for your kit. We've received your kit. We're processing your kit. We're now on this process, and here we are finishing your results. And then they send everything to you.
Right.
And then you cautiously and ever so timidly open the email. And you know, with bated breath, you're just, it's very dramatic.
But we already knew we had a connection. Right. So the worst that could happen is that we really are niece and aunt.
Yeah.
Then we have to figure out
who's the missing sibling. Yeah.
Which of my siblings, known or unknown, is your parent.
Exactly.
And
you thought that you had an idea of who it was.
I thought I did because also my full sister said we all need to be on 23andMe because we had found another half sibling, and it was a guy.
Right.
And so in my brain, I was like, look at me solving the problems I just solved two birds with one stone. Right. I found my newly found brother. I found his daughter.
Right.
But I mean, that's how dumb I am. And truthfully, all of us beyond 23andMe solved everything.
Right. It really did.
But literally, tell them what you did to me.
I'm a big movie nerd, and I sent you a text, and it was the clip from White Christmas where they're singing Sisters.
I think it was Rosemary Clooney.
It is. It's Rosemary Clooney and the skinny chick.
And I get it like 6:30 in the morning, and I'm like,
oh, yeah, because you're an hour different.
Right. And I go, what is she talking about? And I'm literally holding my phone up to my husband's face going, what does that say? Because there is a 14-year age difference between me and Tracy. We are, I wasn't born with a cell phone in my hand.
Right, Well, and very early in the morning, a lot of times you have sleepy eye and you can't, focus.
I'm just like, what is she talking about? Yeah. Because we're funny together. I thought she was sending me a joke.
Right.
And I was like, wow, really? At 6:30 in the morning, she's jokey? That's so crazy.
That's cute.
I know, cute. And so, but then she was like, get on 23andMe. You have to get on there.
Yeah.
And I did. And I immediately saw that it said that you and I were half sisters. Still makes me cry. I literally screamed like a bee. Yeah. I screamed. And my husband was like, oh my God, what's wrong with you? What's happening? And I'm like, all I could go was, Tracy, sister. Ah! I mean, I was just it was just like the biggest thing. I couldn't believe it. And then I just said, I go, I knew it. I knew it.
Oh, absolutely.
It.
Yeah.
And because the thing that people don't understand about the ancestry test and the 23andMe, the ancestry test is accurate, but it really likes to take you to your history.
Yes.
It likes to give you a lot of stuff like you're 23% Persian, or you're from South America, or that it kind of likes to put you in like regions.
And it's a great way to make a family tree versus actually finding your family tree.
But finding your family and getting like an accurate DNA, because our 23andMe test said half sibling.
Right, straight
off
the
gate. Our ancestry test said niece.
Yeah.
Or it'll say
close relative.
First cousin.
Yeah.
Or second cousin. Mm-hmm. And we know now that if we see first cousin on our ancestry, we know that means niece.
Right.
And
right.
sometimes it shows up like that on 23andMe, but it for siblings, it will tell you you are a sibling or a half sibling. And so the cool part is that it's just not me and you.
Right.
I mean, we all share one father, mm-hmm. he was a gadfly, evidently. But he, okay.
There's four moms.
There's four moms. And, okay, so one guy, he's the oldest, and then there's two siblings that are full siblings, and between the first guy and the next sibling, they are 4 months apart. So if you're at home keeping score, right. Something was going on.
Right.
So
not a lot of kindergarten math going on.
Right. So we can understand how something may have been happening.
Right. Yeah,
whatever. And I think when I was a kid, somebody would have called that somebody was in the woodpile or
yeah,
I don't
something.
Even, whatever.
Yeah.
So then there's two full siblings with another mother.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's me and my full sister, and we have one mother. And my sister and I are 13 months apart. And the two boys that are right next to us, we are like stair steps. So the truth is that
a lot of back
he
and
was married to that lady, but something was going on with my mom, who feels super guilty now as an adult, now that she knows all these things. But I was like, there was no internet back then.
Yeah.
People could tell you anything, and you wouldn't know the difference.
Right.
He was living as a single man. He was really living a double life, actually. So two separate towns. She would never have been the wiser.
Right.
And he treated her as if they were together.
Right.
Like a spouse.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
so,
they were living together.
Right. They were living together. They were not actually married, but they were living together as, you know, like living together. And then 14 years after my youngest sister, who is 13 months for me, is Tracy.
Right.
And that's a completely different mother.
Yeah.
Now, Tracy is the interesting one because...
Adoption.
She was given up at birth for adoption. The rest of us were raised by our mothers.
Right.
So we all have contacted, well, not exactly, like some, most of us have contacted each other. There's one brother that nobody's talked to yet, and he is the full sibling of the stair steps with me and Kelly. Oh, sorry, Kelly, I didn't mean to say your name. And then, but we've all talked to the first guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't really understand Tracy's mom and our father's connection. We don't understand that one yet.
There was a large age gap because at that time...
she was 19 and he was 41, and he was married to another woman at Tracy's conception.
And his kids were the same age as my mom.
Correct.
He had two boys
He had two boys at the same age as her mother.
Yeah.
But they didn't go to school together.
No,
they
we can't
not,
figure out the
They
connection.
Didn't live in the same town.
No.
So we can't figure it out unless, you know, and we've brainstormed about it like a million times. We fantasize about everything about it.
Right.
But we think, like, did they know each other, like, at a job?
Right.
Or
was
did
she a waitress
she
at a bar?
Waitress at a bar or a restaurant where he frequented. For sure, we think they did not have a long, like,
there was no
relationship.
Right.
And so, you know, not to be crass, but we think that it probably
was. Probably a hit and run,
Oh, okay. Well,
we
you
could
said
be crass.
It. You said it. I didn't say it.
Well, the thing, though, too, is that to me at that time in the late 70s, it was still an embarrassment to not be married and have a child.
And for my mother, too. I was born in 64 and my sister in 65. And I can tell you that, you know, my mother left the relationship with our biological father, all of us people who have the same father. Mm-hmm. She left the relationship with him on her own. She chose to leave that relationship, and she went to live in a small town with her parents, and she was literally shunned.
Oh, yeah.
She was treated so horribly. And, you know, she, to me, is a very brave woman. I mean, she could have easily have walked away, too, but, I mean, to be a single parent...
Right.
In a situation where you were never married in the 1960s was really
very
hard,
difficult.
Especially if you lived in a small farming community where people were judgmental.
Everybody knows everybody.
In the Bible Belt. People were really hard on her. And, you know, she did eventually marry and, you know, lived with that person, married to that person for over 25 years until he passed away. But my full sister and I, we saw our biological father a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
He was in and out of our lives, but there's not a specific, like, long period of time that I am familiar with. Like, it was always, like, a short visit,
mm-hmm.
and then he would just disappear for years.
Yeah.
And then when my mother married, and I was probably about 10 or so, or 11, that person adopted my sister and I as his own child, and we got new birth certificates.
Really?
What I did not know is that my old birth certificate in the state of Missouri was kept, but it was kept away from me. Like, I could not access it. The state of Missouri only, like, about, what, like 2 years ago,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, they decided to make changes to their state law.
They decided to open up adoption records, mm-hmm. and people could get their original birth certificates. And I read a story about a guy who's like 90-year-old guy who mm-hmm. never knew his birth parents, and he was adopted, and he was able to find that information. That to me is amazing, right. and cathartic, and makes you a whole person
right.
again.
Well, and the other thing too is that for a very long time, the adoption agencies, if you were born after 1948, you had to have your adoptive parents' signatures on paperwork
Correct.
To get these certificates. And while both my adoptive parents are 100% being behind me doing this, it was still very awkward to
right.
say, hey, can you sign this, because I want to know what my name is, you know?
And truthfully, even in my situation, for me and my full sister, the information about our biological father was kept from us. Mm-hmm. It was like a secret.
Yeah.
You know, my mother had 11 siblings, and they all knew it, and nobody would tell us anything. And if we asked about it later, my mother's husband was so weird and paranoid about everything, we weren't allowed to talk about it. We were almost punished about it. And so the sad part is that he passed away in 2002,
mm-hmm.
and it took me a long time to track him down through records because, you know, he was kind of a ghost.
Yeah.
I mean, he really was noncommittal.
Well, he made his whole living doing that way.
Yeah. Right. He was noncommittal. He just flew under the radar so much, and the way that I found him really was through he owed property taxes. And back several years ago in the newspapers,
they would post
that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and my mother would remember selectively small snippets of information, you know, like, I remember an address, but how do you pull an address
out
from 55 years ago out
of
your ass?
Yeah,
I have no
absolutely.
Idea. But she would give me little snippets of information, and then I would just like diligently try to track those down via Google.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what else can you do?
Right.
But he literally was vapor.
Yeah.
I mean, and then when I finally found his obituary, it was so off the beaten path.
Yeah.
He was literally buried in a small town in Missouri that he had no connection to. We could not figure it out.
Is this Camp
Coal Camp, Missouri.
Camp. Yeah.
We couldn't figure out how the heck he got buried in a Catholic cemetery down there. We couldn't figure out any of it. And so I ended up tracking down a person who was listed in his obituary, a woman that was listed as his stepdaughter, who, by the way, she wasn't even any of that.
Mm-mm.
His obituary ran for one day in the Sedalia Democrat, and it literally was so incorrect. It was the only thing that was right about it was his birth date. Everything else was
right.
totally off base.
Well, I think it's important to mention too that our father was married to somebody entirely that didn't have
Correct.
Children.
No
he
children.
Did have a stepdaughter,
he had
but this
a stepdaughter
was not her.
With her. His last wife
mm-hmm. passed away.
She passed away of
2 months before I was born.
2 months before Tracy was born. So she was conceived while they were still married. And I think she may have been dying of cancer during that whole entire time.
Yeah.
And her daughter died of cancer too.
Mm-hmm.
So the truth is we have a lot of dead ends.
Yeah.
Most anybody who could give us super good information
mm-hmm.
is
either passed
away
or unwilling.
Or unwilling to talk.
Or
and
estate.
The truth is we've made a lot of inroads.
We have
spoken to first cousins of his.
Mm-hmm.
We've spoken to...
Just at lunch today, I connected with somebody on 23andMe.
Right.
And
I mean,
you've already connected with...
We
yeah.
get a lot of messages mm-hmm. from people who are, you know, trying to put things together.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like him
yeah.
in particular is like this enigma.
Yeah.
Like, did he really exist? We
He's
don't know.
A tree in the wind.
And I do
yeah.
think that the two brothers...
Mm-hmm.
were probably more involved with him
yeah.
But I get the impression that it may not have been a great relationship.
Right,
and so
I feel very strained.
You feel like you're walking on eggshells a lot. You really don't have the right to pry into another person's life. And so where I am now is that I feel like I'm at a dead end with him.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a relation, I mean, he's been dead since 2002.
Right.
I never got to meet him really
as an adult
or spend any time with him. I wasn't a weekend kid. I was a secret. I was that bastard.
Yeah.
That's what I was.
Yeah.
And so
I believe for a girl it's a Bastress.
Bastress.
Yeah.
As in Princess Bastress.
Yes. That's where all the stress comes
exactly
from.
Exactly. Stress. My mother has a lot of bad feelings about all this, you know, because it brings back memories for her, and she knows that she has been secretive with us,
right.
And so it's really just, it's all political and horrible and crazy. But the truth is, I do deserve to know these things.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I feel like, at this point in my life, I'm less curious about, I mean, I do have a million questions about him,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like I'm less curious about him now that I know about my siblings, and I'm more interested in the relationships with these
right.
people that have me as part of them.
Right.
And I mean, my sister Kelly and I are close. Of course, we grew up together. We're very close.
Right.
We are a little bit opposite. She's an introvert, I'm extroverted, whatever. But Tracy is my she's
we're cut
my
from
match.
The exact same cloth.
We're almost exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
But a very sweet person said to me one time, because we were talking about adoptions and things like that, and I don't want to go into detail about it because I don't want to talk about people unless I have their permission,
right.
And I do not have their permission right this minute. But they're close to me, and she said, not everything's environmental.
Yeah.
And that is really what started me to look for our father.
Mm-hmm.
That is what started me, because I looked at myself in the mirror, and only having my mother's side of the family to, because I didn't
right.
know anything about my father's
right.
side, so only had my mother's side to look at, and I of course could see my mother.
Right.
But then I said, what is it that I don't see?
Right.
What am I not seeing that's there? And that, what do I do every day that might be...
that she doesn't do, or anybody
right.
in my family doesn't do,
what,
yeah.
What is a mannerism that I have?
Right.
And so, through a lot of heartbreaking, screaming matches, mm-hmm. conversations, mm-hmm. hanging up on you, you know, just a lot, because, you know, my mother has had to process a lot of stuff, too. You know, I finally, after 55 years, she says to me, well, your teeth are like him. And the way you love music and dance is exactly like him.
Which is something I have.
That,
yeah.
Right. And that's something Tracy and I have. And mm-hmm. one of our other brothers is exactly
yeah.
like that. And I'm sorry, I don't want to say his name because we don't have permission
to
do that. But it's almost heartbreaking.
Right.
But... this, also, disclaimer, this is the first time Tracy and I have met.
Right,
I came
this
to,
week. Yeah.
I came to Milford, Ohio. Oh,
it's fine, I've already done that. Yeah.
And I came here specifically to meet her.
Right. Yep.
We've only known about each other since
March.
Like February.
Yeah, February, March. End of February, beginning of March.
Yeah, and we didn't know we were sisters until just a little bit after that.
And it was like April, something like that.
And
yeah.
Tracy's been through the ringer physically.
I keep going.
With her health.
Yeah.
And so... this is the first time we've met.
Yeah, yeah.
And but it needed to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
It totally has to.
And it's interesting because just even being in the same room, it felt like on Tuesday, my mom was like, so how was it? What happened? And this,
mm-hmm.
this, and this. And I was like, well, it was kind of great. And then it was also kind of weird because it was like seeing me
yourself.
On somebody else. Yeah, it was
know.
Very odd because being adopted and not actually having any of that parental
information. You don't have
information.
The mom or the dad
right.
to look at because
right.
you're... with people who adopted you.
Right, and I didn't have
so
any...
when you look in the mirror, you're like, I don't
who?
Know what
exactly.
I'm
seeing. Yeah. So I didn't have any pictures of my mother. I didn't have any pictures of my father. The pictures of the father that I do have are the pictures that you've provided me with.
Mm-hmm. And I only had two.
Right, and that's
I had
all we've been able to find.
From where he was holding my sister
right.
after her baptism,
right.
married to
one.
Another person, thank you,
right.
at the same time.
Yes, very Catholic. Yeah.
I know, way crazy. I have that when mm-hmm. he was a very young man, probably about 28 years old.
Right, and one where and he's then really, I have him really when worn. He's
elderly, probably maybe a year or so before his death,
yeah.
that his companion at his yeah. death, I finally contacted them through the obituary, and she was willing to speak to me. And she didn't tell me anything.
Right.
Really. She right. told me nothing. But she sent me a picture.
Yeah.
So I have those two pictures.
And they're very weird because they're apples to oranges.
Right. He looks completely different from
almost
one to
disheveled
the
in the second picture. Yeah. It did not agree
obvious,
with him to be old.
And we talked from the beginning when we shared that picture mm-hmm. that he was obviously ill.
Yes.
Then we got his death certificate from Missouri. My younger sister applied for it, and we got it, and we found out what he died from, and we could tell from the picture that he was already ill.
Yeah.
And we know from the way that he passed away that he was extremely ill and just didn't do anything about it.
Yeah. And it may have been that he didn't have the capacity to do it, or he ignored it, but it could have also been that he just knew he didn't feel well. You know, it could have been
His symptoms would have been ridiculous.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, yeah. for sure.
Yeah.
But the knowledge of what he died from is a great benefit
right.
to us
right.
because Tracy is suffering with her disease, which could very well be from her maternal side
right.
too.
Yeah.
But when we compared our health histories, mm-hmm. it's weird
yeah.
how many things
yeah.
that
Even
we
just,
have.
I've been allergic to certain medicines. I have 13 to 15 different medications I can't take. And
right,
then
me too.
Michelle's the same way. There are
exactly.
a lot of prescriptions that she's
and
not
our,
able to deal with.
Just, I mean, I've had
right.
ovarian
issues. And
issues.
Whatnot, yeah.
I had, you know, it was benign tumors, but I had one ovary removed, and I have half of an ovary that's repaired with plastic. 3 kids still, though, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm superwoman.
This is true.
But still, that was when I was 15 years old, and it was just compounded. I had precancerous
yeah.
uterus. I've
yeah.
had precancerous rectal cancer. I've had just a number of things that really kind of intersect with mm-hmm. everything. And so what I'm saying to you is that if you think that everything is about I just have to know gossipy things about my family, or I just want to know stuff. No, there is a part of this that is so important mm-hmm. because knowing your health history is not just for you, it's for your kids.
Right.
It's for their kids.
Right.
It's prevention. When I went to my doctor, when I found out all this stuff, my gynecologist, who has mm-hmm. known me for 30 years,
right.
his mouth was on the floor.
Right.
And he's like, oh my God, I have been trying to put your puzzle together
for
30
years
yeah. because I couldn't figure out how you had all these things,
mm-hmm.
but nobody in your family does. Now I know.
Now you do, yeah.
Now I have a bigger piece of your puzzle.
Right.
And even my regular doctor was like furiously typing
yeah.
into the computer trying to get my story in there because he's like, oh my gosh, that just
right.
puts a lot of stuff in perspective. And I want this information for my children.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like at this point, that's all I'm after too. And the difference between, like we were saying earlier, the Ancestry and the 23andMe, Ancestry is a lot of, here's a picture of this person when they were invading Spain. Here's
mm-hmm.
a picture of this person in high school.
Right.
Not the same person.
Because as a high school student, I did not invade
I
Spain.
I did not. No, I invaded the fridge.
Exactly. Me
but,
too.
But 23andMe has a genetic side as well as a health side.
Right.
And so they're really good for that. It might cost a little bit extra, but it's nice to be able to share that with other people that you connect with biologically because they can go, oh, well, I didn't have that, but so-and-so did, and then this person had it. And, you know, it's very interesting to see how that runs down.
And we can, I mean, we were able to put together the cancer that
our dad
had that started everything
mm-hmm.
was not even a common cancer.
No.
It was way down the list of cancers.
Right. Which,
so that's interesting right there.
Yeah, that leads me to believe he had some obscurities as well. He
right.
had some weird abnormal
then,
maladies.
Then when I was able to ask one of our brothers
mm-hmm.
if he knew anything about our grandmother, who died early, died
mm-hmm.
young, like probably 1965 or something like that, when he told me what she died from, that made me think that she, I'll just say it, she had leukemia, that sometimes you get leukemia because you've had another
something
cancer.
Else, yeah.
So what is the cancer that she
had?
And
yeah.
the truth is, if you don't know, if there aren't a lot of people who are giving you a good family account, like
mm-hmm.
people aren't keeping records of these things, or you don't have what I call reliable historians. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that, which we do not have that this at all, and mm-hmm. it's frustrating. But if you have reliable historians, it's important to write these things down because people talk from generation to generation, but then people get things mixed up.
It gets lost and mixed.
And, yeah, it gets mixed up. And so this lady who was his companion at the time of his death, when I asked her specifically what he died from, she said cancer. And I said, what kind of cancer? And she goes, it was in his bones. Hey, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It was not.
No,
it was not.
Nope.
And so that was extremely misleading. And not that she wasn't a nice person or whatever. She was just going by, of course, 17 years later, she's trying to, you know, deal with her own crap. So I'm just saying, you know, it's important to write things down. And the way that medical records work now, this is a perfect time to get this stuff recorded. And you know what? So what? Somebody had sex outside of their marriage. Mm-hmm. So that happened in my family 55 years ago. Mm-hmm. Guess what? I'm here. And the reason I'm here is because I'm here and I'm worthy to be here.
Absolutely.
I'm supposed to be here. And it doesn't matter how I got here. It matters that I'm here. And I deserve answers. And when I don't get the answer, then I just have to take the blessing of
what you do get.
What I did get.
Right. And I think, too, that, you know, at this point for me, it's nice to get the family history and the fluff and crap, but I want
to
know genetically.
It would be great to have, like, anecdotes.
Yeah.
If somebody could sit down with me and go,
remember that time my dad knocked up that 19-year-old?
I know.
Hey, remember that time? It was great.
See how, like, whatever. It just is, okay, people? It just is. What can you do? You can't control that part.
No.
And so, but wouldn't it be great if somebody would sit down with us and go, okay, I remember this one time when your dad, blah, blah, blah. I mean, even if it was, I don't even care what it is. I mean, because I've spoken with one of his first cousins, but this guy is really elderly now too.
He's losing it,
and he's 10 years younger than our dad was. And so he remembers him, but they didn't hang together.
No,
because
but he looked up
were,
to him, so it was different. Yeah.
Right.
He's idealized.
And so, and I mean, there just comes a point where there's just so many dead ends.
Yeah.
And also we know that there's a complete separate offshoot from this in that our father's biological father did not raise him.
Right.
So now we know that his dad
was
could
there,
have gone on his way in his late 20s and created a whole new family. We haven't actually run across those people yet, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Well,
if we
and that's like when we were saying earlier when we were at Ancestry.com at lunch, and I was like, this person says it's a first cousin. That could be
a cousin, a niece, nephew. Right.
And it's, you know, I think there's a lot to say about this whole situation because there's so much ambiguity with it. There's nothing that's really cut and dry other than this person was our father. And none of us knew anything about him.
Right.
You know?
And we don't control that situation.
Right.
And if you, this is what bugs me about people, is that they act like they've never heard about sex.
Right.
You are not going to stop people from having sex.
No.
Okay? Anybody who's a teenager out there, stop it.
Right.
All you can do is educate. All you can do is try your best.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, people have been having sex, and that is how we got here.
Right. Right.
So if you cannot go back and shame people for what
what
was natural to them or and you know, like people think they're in love,
right?
And there are a lot of wounded people out there who think that sex and love are the same thing,
right?
And you're finding your soulmate, but then they turned out to be the, you know, the guy who
the
walks out the door the next day. And I think too that, you know, not to be sexist, but I think there's a lot to be said for the fact that men have an opportunity to walk away and
women
are left with
yeah.
you know, the option. I mean, because it is a hard decision for women to make.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't believe in abortion, that is your choice. But I think that for women, either choice, keep your baby, give your baby up for adoption, or have an abortion.
You're going to be persecuted either way.
You will be persecuted for all of it. And also, you will live with the decision for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. If you choose to have an abortion, you will think of that for the rest of your life. You will always carry that with you. If you choose to give your baby up for adoption, you will know that for the rest right. of your life. If you choose to keep your child and raise it, you're with that the rest of your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anybody out there who has a child, you know that even at 18, you're not letting that go.
Right.
I mean, they are your children
yeah.
forever. And so the whole thing is heartbreaking. And but at the same time, we don't know him. So we
right.
can't just, you know, paint him into a corner
right.
and say what a horrible
what
person
ass,
he
yeah.
was.
Yeah.
Because at some point, whatever the relationships were
yeah.
with this person, they were real enough to create a child.
Right.
So, you know, I don't think it's ever a good idea to assume anything
right.
or to persecute people for
yeah.
what has happened.
Well,
you know?
And I think it's time to play devil's advocate.
Okay.
So
let's do it.
I've got two things that I want to kind of put out there, and then we can discuss amongst ourselves.
Discuss amongst yourselves.
All right. So
I'll give you a topic. Go.
I have one and I don't remember.
Oh, crap.
And I can't
Sorry.
Remember. Oh, shoot. The Spanish Inquisition was neither Spanish nor
the Inquisition.
Discuss. For me, I've always, even before I found out who my mother was or is, I have always felt like she was taken advantage of, and that I'm a product of a less than desirable situation. So hold on, because I got to throw a couple things out here. You can't
okay.
talk yet.
All right.
But
I'm not thinking.
Okay. Yes. So after finding, before finding you, I found a fantastic person in my life who's my cousin,
mm-hmm.
And
yes.
I'm going to name him. His
I
name
know
is
him
Joe.
Too, and I love
yeah,
him.
Yeah, and I love everything
his
about
whole family's
Joe.
So
and
great.
Yeah, he and his wife and his girls are fantastic.
I know it. I feel blessed
and
about that.
Absolutely, and he is a genuine person.
He is.
And we formed a really great bond.
Mm-hmm.
He is also going on this journey where he's trying
yes.
to find his biological
he
information.
He is also adopted.
Yes. Well, and that leads me to the next topic. Our joke is that our family motto is breed them and leave them.
Oh.
Because, and that's horrible, but 90% of the people we ran into while doing our search were
right.
adopted.
Exactly.
So we had this huge saga of adoption stories that I would like reach out to him and he's like, no, I'm adopted too.
Mm-hmm.
And then like he said I was the first person he contacted me.
Do you want to divulge what your actual relationship
we're
is?
We're actually cousins.
Right.
I mean, but
her mother and his mother our sisters.
Yeah.
We know that much.
I know that.
And
oh, that I didn't know. I didn't think that they were sisters at all.
You didn't?
No.
What did you think?
I thought they were like cousins or something.
Oh, because that would make you like second cousins
yeah,
or something, right?
Yeah, I don't
right?
know about
but
that.
But it shows up like first?
First cousin, yeah. But I know for a fact that my mom didn't have any sisters that she knew of.
Oh.
So this could be...
The plot thickens.
Right. This could be
okay.
my maternal grandmother's daughter that she
True.
Had from a different because I haven't
yes.
found anything about who she is.
Who she is.
I don't even
okay.
know who she is. Like
oh.
I all I
and
know
he
is
can't
about,
find anything either?
Well he knows who his mom is.
Okay.
And we're just gonna leave it at that.
We're gonna leave it at that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that
there's
that
a
kind
lot of,
privacy
issues with
yeah,
this.
Right. But there's a lot of there's definitely a case of breed 'em and leave 'em on that side of the family because the rate of adoption of what we would run into, he said
just
I was
on that side
on our
family.
Side of the family. He reached out to me first out of all of his matches, and he struck up this conversation. And he'd be like, "Okay, so tell me about this." I'm like, "Well, I can't because I'm adopted." So he would start reaching out to other people that we matched with, that the two of us matched with.
Mm-hmm.
excuse me. And he was just hitting brick wall after brick wall after brick wall. And he actually enlisted the help of a woman named Patricia, and she helped me as well. And she figured out who I was related to way before you even came to the picture.
Wow.
But I didn't see that. Like, I had, I guess, missed the picture in the message or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But she flat out listed our father as my dad.
Really?
Yeah. And she had my mom's name, like, right then and there, too. And it was the weirdest thing. But she is a genealogist for a local library where
okay.
Joe lives. So she was able to kind of, but, along with her regular job, do this on the side.
Wouldn't it be so great if she also knew their relationship?
Right. Wouldn't it be amazing?
I mean, because I mean, it took me a long time to put my mom
mm-hmm.
and my dad together because back then in the 60s, in the state of Missouri,
mm-hmm.
if you were not married, the man could not be listed on the birth certificate. Mm. There is now, and I don't know if it went all the way back then, but you can sign an affidavit now to have your name on the birth certificate in the state of Missouri. That is a thing now, and I don't know how far back that goes. Back then, he could not put his name on the birth certificate. My sister, born 13 months later in the state of Kansas, because my mother had left him. They lived in Missouri, but she left him and went to Kansas, and he went there for my sister's birth. So the story goes, and I've seen her birth certificate. He filled out the birth certificate, and he is listed as the father, even though they were not married at that time. So we have those documents, those original documents. We have them, so we can see them. And did it hurt my feelings that he wasn't on mine? Yes, I will be honest with you. It did hurt my feelings because I'm always looking for proof. I'm always looking for proof of identity. I'm always looking for, and you know what that stems from? I'm always looking for love. I'm always looking for validation. Like I'm supposed to be here.
Well, and the thing though is that, like you were saying earlier, what am I not seeing?
Right.
Then we meet, and there it is.
There it is. That's what we're looking at right each other, and we can see what we're not seeing.
Yeah, and like I was saying earlier, it's like seeing a version of yourself sitting next to you.
Right. And so what I did was, we all became friends on Facebook, and so I took pictures from everybody's stuff, and I printed them off, and I put them all in birth order. And all of a sudden,
there it is.
Because I always felt like I looked like my mother's side of the family. But when I put myself against my siblings, where I know that we all share the same father, I know that we do.
Right.
We all look exactly alike. Mm-hmm. And then even my mother, when she saw this line of pictures, said, "Oh my God, I didn't realize you look so much like your dad." I mean, it was like opened. It was like a door opened. Yeah. It was like
small children were singing in the background.
Right. Yeah, the angels were.
There was
whatever.
Somebody.
They were doing
rose
something.
Petals.
Who knows? They were. I was doing my princess.
Children
wave.
In diapers.
My princess wave. It's just mind blowing. How much you can look like a person, and also how much you have in common that you is not environmental.
It's definitely genetic.
Right. Yeah. It's totally genetic.
Right.
I mean,
just even down to some of the phrases we say.
Exactly.
And how we say it. And that, you know, I can't help but say
she
that,
said stink eye today, and I literally about lost my shit. I say that all the time.
Well, and then I told Lenny, I said, we normally say mean mugging, and I had to explain mean mugging.
Yeah, he don't know that.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
But I mean,
just small things.
Right.
Even just some of the words, like, you know, just some of the ways that we say things, or like I asked you the other day, how do you eat your toast?
Yeah,
because that's something too. That's just a thing. But I mean, for me, finding out that my biological mother was on the yearbook committee, and she was part of the school newspaper. Well, I graduated high school with a degree in creative writing, and I went to college for English for a while. And, you know, I've won a Young Playwrights Festival and like all these creative writing things before I even knew about her.
And my whole life, I've been a creative writer too.
Right.
And always, you know, writing stories, always, and you know, anybody who knows me knows that about me. People have encouraged me to write a book.
Right.
I mean, and gosh, could I?
Right, exactly.
I mean,
could we ever?
Is this like the best book ever?
Right.
And you know what? Anybody that I've shared this story with, and mostly in the last couple of months, I've been super excited about, because I knew we were going to see each other. So I feel like, you know, everything has been building to this moment.
Exactly.
I feel like everybody that I've talked to is like, oh my gosh, you hear stories like this, but you don't know if they're real.
Yeah.
Oh, they're real.
Yeah.
We're not the only people who this is happening to.
No.
This is so incredibly common.
Well, we came out as finding each other on Facebook, somebody, I don't know about you, but I got tagged in this post about women finds 29 biological siblings.
Yes,
and there's still more.
Because the whole sperm donor thing is at a level that blows my mind.
No.
To be able to have 65 siblings is killing me.
Well, there's a show right now called Almost Family on Fox, and it's got Brittany Snow and can't think of her first name, but she's Haley Joel Osment's sister, Emily Osment, and it stars both of them, and Brittany Snow's father is another famous actor. I can't remember who it is right now. Not Tim Robbins. It's one of those kind of style guys, but it basically follows the story of a fertility clinic guy that used his own product instead of using what was on site. And, you know, he is now slowly, like, getting all these kids that he never knew about, so.
Another interesting side story is, I feel like it's just like this never ending thing,
mm-hmm.
but I have another half sibling
mm-hmm.
on my mother's side.
Right.
We are 18 months apart or 20 months apart, but she had another child that she gave up for adoption
right.
before I was born. And I did not know about him until I was 33 years old and I was pregnant with my middle son. And one night my sister and her and I were sitting in her living room and all the men in our lives and all the kids were at a hockey game. And all of a sudden she just blurted it out. We had no idea that it ever was a
thing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And immediately we said to her, whatever you want to do.
Right.
I mean, I'm so sorry that happened to you. I mean,
yeah.
as mothers, we were
right.
immediately
compassionate
so empathetic to
yeah.
her, because I think that has to be a very hard decision.
Right.
You know, and if you're a person who says, well, I would never get my child, you know what?
Be in the situation. Yeah.
Be in the situation.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, people have to make hard decisions all the time. And I'll tell you something else. Bad things happen to good people every damn day.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you're in somebody's shoes, shut it.
Yeah,
I don't.
Exactly.
I mean, whatever. People do what they have to do, and I'm.
Right.
I know for a fact that this
was
heart wrenching for
yeah.
her. And but again, in the 1960s. Now, as soon as my sister and I knew this, of course we were comforting to our mother.
Right.
And we, you know, we consoled her, but we didn't
each other
push
the
her
face,
for a lot
like,
of information
what?
Because it's almost like the minute she said it, she went, oh. Oh, and she like was like,
oh,
I said something, oh, and then she didn't want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but behind the scenes, my sister and I were calling each other going, okay, we got to totally find this person.
Right.
We're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
And so it became like a 13-year journey, because this was when the internet was not really as big as it
right.
is now. There
right.
was like not a lot of Google stuff. And so I had access to a computer because I worked on a computer every day from my home. And so I would like literally just try to reach out to every adoption site.
Mm-hmm.
And I really had so little information. And then I would try to ask my mom for information. And
right.
she had the birth
Super
date incorrect.
Yeah.
And I think some of that was maybe like
on purpose
because
yeah,
she was afraid to find what she would find. And and so finally, a lady from Florida emailed me, and she did it for a living to try to help people find their birth parents. And she goes, sweetheart, you're not going to find him. You're not going to find him. But he's going to find you, because you have left
a trail
of
yeah.
breadcrumbs that
every
is
way possible,
undeniable.
Yeah.
So a couple years goes by. I kind of gave up on it, you know, like it's just not going to happen.
Right.
And quite frankly, shit in my life was happening.
Right.
You know, I had a lot of health issues and stuff.
Right.
And so that kind of took over my life
yeah,
at
absolutely.
That point. And then I had just got off the phone with my mother one night, and we kind of broached the subject a little bit about it. And like right after I hung up with her, I got an email from a guy.
Yeah.
And it came through my eBay account, which was really weird.
Wow.
And he goes, I don't want to be forward, but my name is so-and-so, and I think I'm your brother. And so I wrote back, and I said, listen, asshole.
Yeah, right.
You know what? I'm not in the mood for crap. If you're just jacking with me, step
then
off.
Leave away.
I don't.
Yeah.
I, you know, whatever.
Right.
And he wrote back, and he goes, I'm not kidding, and this is how I know. He had his birth certificate. He had his adoptive mother, who, by the way, was the most angelic person I ever met in my life. I just love her. She passed away a couple months ago, but I just thought she was an angel.
Yeah.
And he went to her like 3 days before that and said, I think I want to find my birth family.
Wow.
She went to her closet and she pulled down a box, and she had the letter from the adoption agency. She had his birth certificate. She had everything
she
that he
waiting.
Could find.
Yeah.
And you know what? He sat down on his computer, and within 3 days, me and
there
him.
There it is.
There it is, just like that. That's crazy. And you know what? I always say to him now, who, by the way, he's the greatest man ever.
Yeah.
I just love him, and I love his family. I love them. They are wonderful. They are just the best people ever, and I'm so blessed to know them. I just feel like one time I said to him, I don't even know why you want to be around me. I'm so loud, and you're so quiet. And he goes, I call that balance. Yeah. I mean, he's just like, he always says the right thing
at the right time. Yeah.
He's just a wonderful man. He's like super solid. He was raised in a good family. They're all fabulous. I mean, I just think what a blessing they are in my life. Yeah. I feel so fortunate to know them. And I don't want to say who he is because I don't have permission to do that. But he's just wonderful.
Yeah.
And, and then of course, you know, I had to call my mother back immediately and go, oh my God,
guess what?
I think I found your son, you know? And I said to her one day, do you know how fortunate you are?
Yeah.
Do you know how blessed you are to have this kind of closure in your life? Do you know how many women had to give their babies up for adoption and never knew what happened to them?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea how fortunate you are that your child that you did not want to give up, that you were forced into a situation to give up. Do you know how fortunate you are that he was adopted by wonderful people who raised him well, who he is just a wonderful person, and he's still alive, and he has a beautiful family. Do you know how fortunate you are to have that kind of closure?
Right.
I said, do you think you're the only person who's ever had to go through this?
Yeah.
I mean, let's talk about the Irish children in the
1930s
and 40s.
Yeah.
Let's talk about women who got pregnant and had to be sent to convents and
to their
punished
house.
For their sin.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, sex has been around since the beginning.
Right.
Like I said.
We're not here because of any other
sometimes
reason.
You get caught. One time my mother said to me, some people stub their toe. I
thought
that was the dumbest thing I heard. But it's kind of true. But you know, I feel like there is, I think that, you know, in your circle, mm-hmm. you know, maybe you know that you're adopted, you know, whether you choose to share that with people or not. But when I first knew him, we were going to have a big family reunion. And the truth is, he looks exactly like us.
Doesn't
I mean, we look exactly alike. And so I call him up and I go, hey, what are you doing in June? He goes, I don't know. And I go, do you want to go someplace where everybody looks like you? And he's like, wow, really? And I go, yep.
Yeah.
And he showed up and everybody, you know,
that's
welcomed
awesome.
Him with open arms.
Yeah.
And it was so cathartic for my mother, too.
I'm
and
sure.
I think that
I'm
it
sure.
gave him a lot of answers and it gave her a lot of, you know, just relief.
Right.
Because it's a secret that you carry with you forever.
For years, yeah.
And it's a burden. She literally thought of him every day.
No, I'm sure, yeah.
And when she remarried, she was not allowed to speak of him.
Right.
She was not allowed to tell my sister and I of him.
Right.
It was only until after her husband passed away that she, and he was gone for
a while. Yeah.
Before she felt safe to tell us. And
right.
the minute she said it,
it was like,
she
oh,
wanted
what
to
did I do?
Put it all back in because she felt shame immediately.
Right.
There's so much shame associated with things. I think people need to let go of shame.
Yeah.
You need to let that go. You just have to.
Yeah, there's definitely a stigma, too, with adoption because it's looked upon as something that married people don't do.
Right.
Unless they are the recipient of the child.
Right.
And, you know, it's looked upon as, well, you did this to yourself, so figure it out. And nobody's ever praised for, you know, choosing to do that.
Choosing.
Yeah. And, you know, we have these shows. We only have a few more minutes left, but we have these shows on like TLC and MTV. You've got Unexpected, where it's a bunch of teenagers that are pregnant, and they're
mm-hmm.
like, "Oh, I didn't know how to have." There was one girl that literally said, "I didn't know you could get pregnant all the first time," and that's a big thing too.
You know,
but there's
that's
a lot
our
of
responsibility as parents.
Right, there's
we
a lot
need
of education,
a lot more education.
But there's still, you know, the couple on MTV is 15 and pregnant, or Teen Mom, or whatever it was when they were on it. They did choose to give their child up for adoption, and then they had an open adoption, and they were able to, you know, spend time with that child. And then after they got old enough and they got married, they had been together since like they were 13.
Mm-hmm.
So they're now still together in their mid-20s, and they have a new family where they, you know, they've had another child, and they
mm-hmm.
incorporate that older child into their lives. But it's not always that easy for everyone. And I know that, you know, when I was younger, and every kid goes through that whole I hate you, mom phase. But when you're an adopted kid, a lot of times it comes out as you're not my real mom.
You're not my real mom.
And that becomes a problem, too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my mother, my adoptive mother, she was very upset by a lot of things I said because I didn't understand the gravity they held.
Right.
And I didn't understand the mental anguish she was already going through, not able to carry a child in the first place.
And you know, she wouldn't have adopted you unless she wanted you to be her own child.
Right.
In her brain, you are her own child.
Right. Right. Yeah. But I think that, you know, as a adopted child, when you're very young, when you know very young,
well, I think
it's
as a
tough
kid,
to,
when you're a kid, yeah. You can't make adult decisions when you're a kid.
No.
You can't say adult things, understand adult things. You can't. And so when you're a kid, I think you have to just forgive yourself
right.
for what, I think you just, you know what, the world would be a lot better place if people would just tolerate and forgive.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Yeah.
If it's not your business,
Move on.
If you are a compassionate person and you want to understand how people are, then reach your hand out.
Right.
I mean, I just feel like this whole shame thing is so dumb.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't solve anything. And I feel like my mother suffered horribly for years.
Yeah.
Over things that were natural to her.
Right.
I mean, she said to me a million times, I loved him.
Yeah.
I thought he was the love of my life.
Right.
I mean... Who hasn't been, what girl
right.
has been there?
Right, exactly.
You know? I mean, what girl hasn't?
Right. Yeah.
I mean,
it's pretty natural. Yeah.
It's hard, but at the same time, it's really not.
Yeah.
It's love. Love is love.
Exactly.
That's it.
Yeah.
That is it. It's so simple. So simple.
Yep. I agree.
And so we don't know the circumstances of the relationship between our father and your mother,
right.
but we definitely know what ours is.
Yeah, exactly.
We totally know
yeah,
what ours
no,
is.
No, I mean, and that's true. And I think that it's not, for me, it's not about getting closure right now. It's just mm-hmm. about answers. And, you know, being that I have the diagnosis I have and that I've been progressively having big issues and, you know, I do feel like at certain points, okay, good, I have this information, I can rest easy. But at other times, it's like, but I just need more, you know? And I hate feeling like that. But I think that a lot of this stems from me being a kid and knowing very early that I was adopted. And mm-hmm. for a long time, my parents made a big deal about like lighting a candle on the day I was adopted every year mm-hmm. and, you know, kind of honoring that. But then it kind of like as they grew older and had their own problems, that kind of went away and mm-hmm. celebrating it less. But I actually just some days I'm fine with what I have and some days I just
right.
need it. You know,
I get
like
it.
There's a fix that yeah. I just need to know more. Like I can spend 15 hours in the ancestry rabbit hole and mm-hmm. just that's so easy to get into and just circle and go down the drain.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are other days where like, oh, I can't even like type that site, you know?
Right. I mean, I get contacted by people on Ancestry and 23andMe all the time saying, mm-hmm. hey, I'm looking for this and it's, mm-hmm. you're on my list and
right.
blah,
what
blah,
do you have? Yeah.
But the truth is, if there's anything that you and I have learned from the very beginning is mm-hmm. that anybody can be related to anybody.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, how you're related to me might be completely separate from how I got here.
Right.
I mean, like, you could be a shirt tail person from an affair that happened between...
Right, exactly.
You know, we heard that story yesterday
yeah.
from a man
from a
that
gentleman.
We met
yeah.
at the junk gyms.
Yeah.
And yep. he told us this fabulous story about, you know, how this guy got divorced from his wife and then he went and had a whole
had
other family
other
but
and,
nobody
yeah.
ever knew about it until it showed up on a DNA test
yeah.
and then they had a family reunion and he said it was the most moving thing that he'd ever
yeah.
seen in his life to see these people come together and how they had this connection
mm-hmm.
and they were all so glad to know each other.
But they didn't know each other prior
right
to that,
they had
right.
no idea that the others existed
right.
and so that's true about us
right.
We would not have known we existed.
No.
And you would not have the answer to
a lot of the
a
things,
lot
yeah.
of your biological father if I had not taken a DNA test.
Correct.
And the truth is, I never planned on taking a DNA test.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, last winter, I was just fed up.
Yeah.
I was like, you know
I'm
what? I'm 55
it, yeah.
years old. What have I got
Tell
to
me
lose
not.
Here?
Yeah.
I just want to figure out who my dad...
Right.
I wanted to figure out my dad.
Yeah.
But I got so much more.
Mm-hmm.
So much more
Absolutely.
Than that. So yep. much more. And so I don't have any regrets
no.
about doing it. And I just want whatever relationships are going to happen,
right.
I feel like we should just keep going.
Oh, no, I agree. So we have about a minute and a half left. And
did we do Devil's Advocate or did I interrupt?
So we really didn't. It was
why
about.
Do we only have a minute and a half?
Because you can only do an hour at a time.
Let's do a part two.
Well, we have to go get the little guy in a minute.
Okay. All right.
But I think that Devil's Advocate was, you know, did my mother and our father have this huge issue where it was not consensual, maybe? And I feel that way with one of our other siblings. I feel like there's a situation there that may have not been on the up and up. And I've always kind of felt like that about my DNA and whatnot. But, you know,
I think he was just a getter.
He was just a go.
I think he couldn't keep it in his pants.
Yeah. No, I
truthfully.
Agree. I agree. Final thoughts with the last 30 seconds. What you got?
I'm super in love with Tracy.
Swoon.
I am more appreciative of my life.
Yeah.
I'm more appreciative of every new connection that I make, and I'm understanding humanity more.
Yeah.
I'm a more tolerant person. I'm a more loving person.
Yep.
I feel like.
Yep. And I adore you. So.
I adore you too.
All right. Thanks, guys, for listening to Hashtag Fishtag Life, whatever.